Take your Bible and go in the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher. The preacher Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, left here this morning, and didn't have anything, didn't know what God wanted, and sought the face of God. Here's what God gave me. And then I've been troubled and burdened with it since the Lord spoke to me and put something on my heart about it. We're going to the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to read the first verse and the last two verses. I want to bring a little thought tonight, a little bit different than what I normally do. But you know the thing about a preacher is a pastor, an evangelist can come through and preach his series of sermons that he's got. An evangelist don't have to have too many sermons. He'd have quite a few, but he can preach one over and he can come back through the next week and preach them same sermons to another place and another people. And he can get pretty good at it. And he covers some areas and try to win the lost and do what he can. A pastor can't do that. You got to give something different. Then on the top of that, I look at this. I got some older folks in here, some middle-aged people in here, and got some young folks in here, and we got to cover the ground. Amen. Some of you older people tonight, I'll slide you to the side. I've done about all I can do for you anyhow. Amen. And then the responsibility of the young folks comes on me. And we've got a lot invested in the young people, and we need to do what we can to help them. And the responsibility is hard on us and rough on us as a pastor. And at the same time, it's tough on you as a parent and tough on you as a church. And so we've all got the responsibility together, myself as a pastor and as a dad, and then at the same time, you as a church member, maybe a church leader with children. And brother, our kids in here, our young folks in this building will never be no more than what we make them to be and set the pace for them out yonder. Amen. And we fail so much, and I don't care to tell you tonight we do, and we need to recognize some things. And so I want to preach to the younger folks, but I want to preach to everybody too. Not saying what I'll say tonight, and I'm not dismissing the older people. Amen. You still sit here anyhow. And because you're going to get some things, amen, I believe tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, chapter 12. Let's stand, please, and read together. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, chapter number 12. Let's read verse number 1. He said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Is what he's saying is, you're going to come a time, you're going to get so old, that, amen, building snowmen and all that stuff won't be exciting no more. Amen. That's what it says. That's what he's telling you here. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, verse number 13 said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Now, he's summing up the whole book of Ecclesiastes. Here's what he says. Solomon said, "Fear God." Do you see that? "Fear God and keep His commandments." After Solomon said the whole book, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, told about all the stuff in the book of Ecclesiastes, he comes to verse number 13. He said, here is the sum of it. Here it is. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. I want to put this, the top statement. I want to put the icing on the cake. He said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty." Oh, did I miss it? Amen. You got it with me, didn't you? I said, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You can be seated. And let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight You give us wisdom, give us understanding, help us tonight, Lord, to declare the whole counsel of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, help us to say what needs to be said, what would help and what will strengthen, what will encourage hearts. We'll give You the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Now, I don't believe I'll preach what God's put on my heart, all of it. I'll not have time. I thought maybe I could when I started. But I look at this, so we'll just start, get part of it, and maybe come back and preach some more of it later. Now, as we look at this, I want to tell you tonight, my desire is to inspire you, to instruct you, to challenge you, and to charge you with the Word of God. That's my job. Amen. That's my job as a preacher, to challenge you. My job is to charge you. My job is to instruct you, to inform you, and inspire you with the Word of God. And if we can do that tonight, it'll help. Amen. But I want to say to you young folks, I want to challenge you. I want to put a challenge in front of you. And then we talk about the young people. And people talk about how bad young people are in America. And they are. Amen. They've got so much to offer them. And but I want to tell you tonight, in our church, we have some good young folks here. And this is an opportunity. We have an opportunity. If they turn out wrong, we're going to have to blame part of it for ourselves. Amen. Now, I believe that. Now, all the religions, and I mentioned this in the Sunday school this morning, I believe, all the religions of the world, not all of them, but most of the religions of the world, they start after the young folks. I heard years ago that the Roman Catholics, they said this, if we can have your child or get your child for the first 7 years of its life, we've got it for the rest of its life. And so they start young. Us Baptists, we wait till our teenagers turn out bad, and then we start wondering what in the world happened, and then we try to change them. And it don't work that way. We start trying to plead with them and change them and start them in the right manner while they're in the cradle. Kind of like a woman said one time, my boy is 10 years old. And said, when do you think he'd be old enough for me to offer to put discipline on him and whip him? And the preacher said, 10 years ago. Amen. Now that's not popular today. Amen. We got kids today that's raised. I've heard people say, I wouldn't brag about it tonight. If I was a parent, I raised three or four kids and never had to whip a one of them. Amen. Well, I'm sorry to say tonight, that didn't happen down in my house. Amen. I know that. And I believe they needed it. Listen, I have never seen nobody's kids tonight that did not need some kind of discipline from time to time. They don't come in this world right. Amen. And we have to... You didn't come in this world right. Amen. Maybe you're just trying to make up for lost time where somebody whipped you and you didn't like it. Amen. But and maybe you was mistreated. I don't know. But I'm telling you tonight, they have to be corrected. But the religions of the world. Now, that's what I said about the religions, and I mentioned this morning. That they teach the children when they're young how to do. And that's what they do. And they grow up like that. They instill it in an early age. I want to talk about three basic needs tonight of every individual in this building. And the quicker you get these three basic needs in your life, the quicker it'll be for you to start living for God. Three things you've got to make, and some of you have never made. Some of you might be 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, and you've never completed these three things and made these three choices in your life correctly yet, and you're paying for it tonight. And I want to talk about that. There's three things that you've got to make a decision on. You've got to get right to start with, or you're going to mess up. I'm going to talk about three things. I won't get all three of them, but I'll talk about one or two of them tonight, and then I'll come back and preach the rest of it. How about that? Let me just give you that. I don't usually try to give you the three thoughts. I give them to you one at a time, but I give them all to you. I'm not going to preach them all tonight, but he'll let you know what we are headed for. Number one, you've got to decide about God in your life. Amen. Number one. Now, some people hadn't done that. They're old. Some people down here in the nursing home, and they're... one foot on a banana peel and the other in the graveyard. And they still have not decided what they're going to do with God. Still lost and undone without God. You need to make that in the early age. Young people, listen to me. What did we read here? Read it with me in chapter 12 of the book of Ecclesiastes. Young people, all you young folks, read this with me. Remember now, read it with me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Amen. Now listen, that's what God said. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when you're young. That's what God said. Now that's the first thing that you need to get recognized. You said, preacher, I straightened that out a long time ago. Thank God. You're already at first base. Amen. Now, number two, the second thing you need to recognize, and you need to get it fixed in your mind. What are you going to do in your life? Everybody has to come up with that. When I was a little boy, I used to tell my mama I was going to be a policeman. Amen. I was going to be this or I was going to be... And somebody else come through and I'd see them doing some kind of something and I'd get excited and then I was going to be them. Amen. You know how kids are. We decide we're going to... But I'll tell you, at a young age, somewhere in your life, you need to decide what you are going to do in life. Now, some of y'all are pretty old and you ain't figured out yet what you're going to do. Amen. Understand? Now, the Bible teaches we need to do that young. You need to get it settled as quick as possible. And thirdly, everybody needs to decide this. These are three main things in your life. Anything else, you say, what about the church you go to? Amen. That comes across with a thing, what you're going to do with God. Amen. And then what are you going to do in life? And I believe I got them in the right order. And then the third is, what kind of companion or who is going to be your companion in life? Husband or wife, that is. Amen. I believe it ought to be in that order. I believe it ought to be in that order. You ought to figure out what you're going to do with God, number one. You ought to figure out what you're going to do for life in amen, in your occupation, in your existence, making a living and so forth. And then thirdly, you ought to figure out about your companion. But if you don't get number one right, you won't get number two right, and you won't get number three right. Amen. Amen. You see, we're going in a different direction tonight. I wish that God had sent somebody to preach to me this same message that I'm hearing tonight from the Lord firsthand. Amen. I wish somebody to preach this to me. Nobody preached it in my days when I was young. I didn't hear a preacher get up and preach what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. I didn't. I'm not saying that they didn't preach it then. They did. I've read after preachers in the old days and years gone by that have come up with the same thing that I'm preaching tonight. And I say, hey, they preached it, but I was not fortunate enough to hear that. Nobody took the time. Amen. I was raised up in the Southern Baptist Church and all we was on is a program and a plan and amen. And we read out of the quarterlies for Sunday. You understand what I'm talking about? And the preacher preached the same message about every Sunday morning. He didn't teach us nothing basically out of the Word of God. Now, there were some people going along and doing that. Amen. There were some preachers in other churches that did that. But I was not fortunate enough to sit under preachers that taught me anything, basically an overview of the Word of God. And I just had to kind of take it as I got it. Amen. And I want to say, thank God. God done a good job. God helped me out when I didn't even know no better. And thank God, under the providence of God, He has blessed me and helped me. And by no means am I saying tonight that I made the wrong choices. I'm just going to say it took me a long time to make the right ones. Amen. I even wish that I'd have known what I know tonight when I had my babies in the cradle. I do. I wish me and Mama here had known what I know tonight when we brought them little brats from the hospital, amen, and put them in the bassinet. That's right. I wish I'd have done that, but I didn't. Now, I want to talk about this and go to it tonight in this manner, and I pray this will help you. Number one, we need to know, the first thing you need to know is what you're going to do and decide about God in your life. That is, that you need to know about who God is. Amen. And there, God's got three ways, and He's going to tell us that tonight in the message. There's three things that God has used, or three helps that God has given us to find out about Him, to find out about what we need to do in life, and number three, find out what we need to do about a marriage, amen, or a mate, if you will. Amen. Somebody to help a helpmeet. All right? We'll look at this. Number one, what we need to know about God. First of all, I don't believe that your life will ever be right until you are born again, amen, by the Spirit of the living God. Now, if you're in this building tonight, you're not saved. You're not going to find the will of God, amen, in the areas that I'm talking about. The will of God for you is that you get saved. God wants to birth you into His family. I want you to know that. Amen. Now, I want you to think about the things. God said here that we need to remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. This world's got gods of silver. This world's got gods of gold. This world's got idols of all kinds of things. But listen, the Creator, God the Creator, is not first in everybody's life. Now what did the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that tonight? Sure. So we know that God wants us to get to the place. First of all, He wants you to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So God wants to save you. Ever born again child of God tonight, if you don't know Him, tonight you're not saved, of course, but ever born again child of God that's in this building needs to listen and take heed. Because if you don't have God in the right relationship in your life, you're not going to have God in the right relationship in everything else that you're doing. And you're going to mess up. Now, how many of you, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but answer this question for yourself. You look back now and say, I wish that I'd understood this and got the thought of God in my heart the first time when I was just a young child. And I wish that I'd been raised up. Some of you may have been raised in the church all your life. And some of you may have been saved at a young age. But some of you look back and say, I wish I'd have got saved sooner. And you look back at that and you say, I wish I'd have done exactly what the preacher said and made sure that I got my right relationship with God at a young age and got saved before I ever started a family. And some of you in here probably started a family, you were saved. And some of you in here probably wasn't saved when you started a family. But I'm saying to you, don't you wish, if you look back tonight, you can see that. Now, first thing, God wants you to be saved. And I say to every born again child of God, amen to you, and then to you who are lost, that you need to be saved. Now, I'm not going to deal long on that because I think it's a simple idea and a simple thought. Every person in this building needs to answer that for God at an early age. I did. Thank God I found God at a young age. Amen. Well, matter of fact, I turned that around. God found me at an early age. Amen. And I appreciate the parents taking me to the house of God. Now, I want to give you this little thing. It's just the touch of God that God can do. Now, look. It's a miracle that I'm even saved. It's a miracle that you're saved. You say, I come out of a Christian family. Well, what about us people and us tonight that did not? I can go back as my childhood. I'd remember my grandmother on my mother's side. She worked with the Pentecostals. And she was a good godly lady. I believe that with all my heart. Matter of fact, she's probably the most godly lady in our family on my mother's side. And she would take us to tent meetings. The first time I ever remember, I don't remember the first time I went to a tent meeting, but I remember as a young boy that they would take me to tent meetings. That's the first time that I ever had any experience in tent meetings, is with my grandmother. And I'd hear them. I don't know too much about what went on, but I was acquainted with tent meetings. And she was in the... Well, my mom and daddy didn't go to church. The only time I'd ever get into anything in the church was when my grandmother would take me to the old tent meetings. And I remember playing in the sawdust, amen, as a kid. That's all I remember, so far. I didn't remember what was going on. I didn't pay much attention. I was too young. It wasn't my interest. And then I didn't have no background of it. And then the next thing I remember is my grandmother on the other side. She went to the uptown church. Amen. Where it's cold and dead. They got this, and I didn't see anything there. And they didn't talk about God when we got together. Family meetings, we didn't have anything, relationship talking about the Lord. They talk about going to church every now and then. And then my daddy, I remember this. He was just, a drunkard. And one day I watched God save him. And the preacher came and knocked on the door. Him and his wife would visit. I'm giving you this as a testimony tonight to understand where it's going. I'll give you a lot of this tonight to help me understand, help you to understand where we need to be. And listen, it's in the providence of God. God will watch over you if you're saved and use these three things that God's got. I don't care if you don't have the education around you. God will take these three helps that I'm going to give you tonight and He'll put you in the right path. Even if you don't have no parents that'll lead you right. Even if you don't have no church to go to that'll teach you right. You use these three helps that God's given you, and they're in front of you tonight. Amen. I'll guarantee you, God will put you on the right road if you're saved. Amen. Now, this is something I never preached this in my life. But I know it's the truth. Amen. And God put it on me. Now, let's go with this. I remember the preacher and his wife coming down to my daddy's and mama's and lived on old Some of y'all know where the Twin River Orchard is. Used to be. Somewhere, you know where Midway Electric is. Where the Midway Electric building is. On the west side of Midway Electric, back toward the four-way stop. And going in from this side on 105 was a little house in the holler. Right before Midway Electric. Old house about to fall in with an outside toilet. I remember that house. We moved from Hiawassee, Georgia to that little house. And that's where we had to keep the firewood and the wood for the stove going. And that was my job. My daddy worked in the apple orchard and they brought in the trees and I sawed up the apple trees that they had cut down. And I kept a pile of wood during the summertime piled up there. And that was my job. Amen. And it had a little white. Somebody got up on top of it and painted the flue, not the flue, but the little chimney come out of the middle of it. And everybody on the school bus laughed at us because we had a white chimney. Made fun of us. But we lived on the side of 105. But that preacher and his wife came. And when the preacher come, my daddy did have enough respect to put us in another room. And we had electric lights, amen, the kind that you had the strings. You had them in the middle of the building, and we went up and tied the string to it, put it to the head of the bed. And the reason is because if we got up and turned the light out, we couldn't get in the bed before the light went out. So we tied one to the head of the bed. Amen. How many remember that? Wasn't a nice string, wasn't a pair of shoe strings. It just a bunch of rags we'd tied together. That thing had 100 knots in it. Looked like a tail of a kite. Amen. And we lived that way. We lived there and in that house. There we were. Brother, I'll tell you, the water would freeze in the morning time. We had one bucket, amen, and a well. We drawed water and everybody drunk out of the same bucket with the same dipper. Nobody paid no attention. Amen. That right there lets you know you wouldn't want to be in my shoes as a kid. You done got so sophisticated. But I watched that preacher and his wife come in. We went into the back room and I'd stay behind the door and I'd peep out the crack in the door and around the edge and I'd watch my daddy and he'd sit there and talk and my mama busy going in and out. She didn't want to have nothing to do with the preacher. But my daddy, they would talk to him and that old preacher get down on that old dirty floor. Hey, us braves were, we didn't have screens on the doors. Didn't have screens on the windows. Amen. And the house flies, if you had to watch where you was going, you'd swallow one every now and then. Our pastime sometimes was sprinkling a little sugar out and taking fly flaps and seeing how many flies we could kill in one day. Now, I know you don't want to have a life like that. Y'all made it. Y'all got it made. But I want to tell you, how many remembers them days? Amen. Well, thank God, makes me feel a little bit better. Amen. Well, I'd watch through. Daddy'd sit on the couch, and that preacher would get down on his knees on the old dirty floor with a suit on, and I'd hear him pray, and I'd see him cry, and he'd cry and pray. Some of y'all might have known him. His name was Lee Webster. How many remember Lee Webster? And his wife Mary, I believe his wife's name was Mary. All right, and so guess what? He'd get up and go back over to the Return Baptist Church, and he'd come back in a little while. I'm talking about 2 or 3 weeks later. He'd come back in 3 or 4 times. I watched that preacher come in, and I'd hide behind the door and watch out. But one night, I watched my daddy slide off of the couch and down on his knees. Not only seen the preacher cry, but I saw my daddy cry. Brother, when daddy got up there, they hugged each other's neck. And he went back out the door, and when he left, we all come out. And Daddy said, guess what, kids? We're going to church Sunday. And I said, what? We're going to church. And on Sunday morning, God impressed my daddy, and he got up and got us all ready. Him and Mom, and they took us out, put us on one pew, 5 of us kids. Mom and Daddy, 7 of us, filled a whole pew up. Here we are, a bunch of little country hillbilly rug rats sitting on the pew. Hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we went there a little while. Amen. I was around 10 years old when that happened in my life. And after that's the first time I know anything about going to church regularly. Amen. How in the world am I going to know what God's going to do? How am I going to know what God wants in my life? I didn't even know God at that time. You understand what I'm saying? Guess what? Well, we came in to the church and sat down. And after a couple of years there, one Sunday morning, sitting on the end of the pew where Troy is sitting tonight, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to me through a different preacher. It wasn't the same man, but another preacher was there. And when he began to preach, the Holy Ghost got all over me. And I recognized I was going to hell. And that morning, I thought he's preaching a whole load to me. Got up out of my seat, walked down the aisle, bowed in the altar, and asked God to save me. Didn't know. You've heard me say this. I didn't know how to pray the sinner's prayer. I just said, God, save me. And He did. Thank God He did. You said, how do you know? I was there. Praise God. And I've been saved ever since. I hadn't done all the things I should have done. But amen. But I want to tell you tonight, I thank God that He saved me for His sake. Amen. Well, it went on and on and on, and I won't give you the whole thing. But eventually God got me to thinking and put it in my heart as a teenager. God had spoke to me in high school about preaching the gospel, and I wouldn't even tell nobody. I wouldn't tell nobody. Didn't discuss it with my wife. At that time, of course, I wasn't married, but I didn't discuss it with Mom and Daddy. And after we got married, I didn't even discuss it with my wife. Nobody. Didn't talk about it. But God had it in my heart to give the Word of God out. A little old bashful country boy that hadn't been around God much. Amen. But I want to tell you something. The first thing that God done was save my soul. Brother, well, I thank God for that. That was the start of it. No telling where I'd be tonight if I hadn't been saved. Amen. No doubt on my way to hell, I know. But no doubt probably already there. But thank God. Amen. Guess what? I didn't know how to pray what God wanted me to do in life. I didn't know what God wanted me for a companion. Amen. But God took care of that in my ignorance. And without all the helps that I know that I had or didn't know that I had, I didn't use any of them. God in His providence brought me a good woman and married me out to her. Thank God. Amen. She come in. I believe her daddy was a preacher. I know he was. And they went out to Return Baptist Church. And she was looking for a boyfriend. And he said, that Bill's man's got some boy. Why, Daddy, they're too young for me, she said. But then, listen, her daddy died. They visited out there one time. And she went home and she said to her mama, said, that's the boy I'm going to marry. Now, I didn't even know her. That's the boy. Hey, listen, fellas. They set a cap for you. You're in trouble. You just better hope that God is the one that's setting the cap. Amen. That's right. And I'm going to talk about that in point number three, but I won't get there tonight. You see where we're coming? Don't we need a message like this? America needs a message. Kids, you need a message like this. We need our preachers to get to the place that we're preaching to our young folks. They don't know any better. Amen. We can't give them a good enough time. We're grumping and griping around the house. We come to church and gripe and grumble with one another. And brother, they go out with their buddies that are on drugs and dope. And they're having fun. And that's what they want is fun. Because we don't give it to them at home. Amen. And so we need to get things changed. Well, to make a story short, I got married. Thank God, God gave me a good wife. And then I started preaching. And God put me in the ministry from church to church. Raised up in this area. Brother Bobby, you know what I'm talking about. Brother Larry, you know what I'm talking about. In this particular area, most of all our preachers around here in this community, in this county, and all around here, they all stay at most of them now. I'm not talking about all of them, but most of them will go preach at a little church and they'll stay two, three, four years. And then they just get up one morning and said, I feel like God's through with me here. How many times have I seen that? And then they just get out and the people are disturbed. They think that what's happened? And the little thought is tonight in some of the churches is that preachers seem to wear out their welcome in 2 or 3, 4, 5 years, and it's just a little thing that they do right in this particular area. I remember when I was young and preaching, they said, he's been over there too long. He's been over there about 4 years. It's about time he went somewhere else. They're tired of him over there. Amen. But they'll get tired of another one in 3 or 4 years. Amen. And so I fell into that. I'd preach 6 months here, always looking for a better church. Going to another church, look for another church and another church. And when churches, here's what happens. When you get a new preacher, you'll have a little period of honeymoon. The honeymoon can last 3 or 4 years. It can last a couple of years. Most of the time it only lasts 6 months for me, but anyhow. They don't last long. But you'll have a little honeymoon. Everybody said, hey, come and hear our preacher. Come and hear our preacher. We got a new preacher. Boy, you ought to come and hear him preach. He can surely preach. You go listen to him, you wonder, he ain't no different than nobody else. They just like him. He comes in with some new cologne on and a new set of shoes from a different pastor. Carries his Bible at a different angle under his arm. He talks to the kids a little more than the last one did, and they compare him to him. Hey, we got one of the best preachers in town. Amen. But somewhere down the road, 6 months, a year and a half, 2 years, listen to me, I'm telling the truth. The honeymoon wears off. They find out that their preacher they got's not perfect. He's not as what they thought he was. He's not cut out to what they thought he was when he came there. He changed brands of perfume, or we should say cologne. Amen. Or he don't treat the kids like he used to. What's happened is you've got tired of him. And then he looks over the congregation and he says, something's happened to this crowd. They're not the crowd I had when I started. He finds out he don't have a perfect church. Amen. And now the battle's on. So then for a while the church gets in a lull. Nothing seems to move. Nothing seems to go ahead. Nothing seems... Now listen, young folks, I'm talking to you. Because this is exactly the way that life is, and it's going to happen to you. And then what happens? You get in that little lull, and when you're in that little lull, I mean, nobody gets excited about Amazing Grace anymore. Nobody gets excited about a soul that gets saved. Matter of fact, they don't even care where anybody in the community comes in to get saved or not. Gets in that little lull. And then when you get in that little stage for a while, the next thing happens, you start getting division in the midst of the church. And one begins to start picking at another. And another begins to pick at another. And the next thing you know, you've got problems and trials and heartaches and headaches and war and division. And if you're not careful, you'll get a split. And that's when that preacher steps out on the scene one morning and he says, I feel like I'm through here. In other words, I'm going to go over the hill down here and I'm going to pastor another church. This is not where I need to be. I think my time limit's over. And so I did that for 20 years. 20 years of my ministry. I'd preach a little while. Honeymoon. I love them honeymoons. Woo-hoo! Amen. Ain't seen one in a long time. I've been here 23 years. Honeymoon got over a long time ago. Amen. And so, what happens? I get the honeymoon, then the lull, and then the battle, and I start looking over the hill. Amen. And then I start saying to myself, Lord, what is the perfect will of God for me? What do you want me to do? Now, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, listen to me. Here's the second point that you need to recognize. What God wants you to do in your life will determine on the will of God for your life. And you need to, the second thing in your life is find out what the will of God is for you. What the will of God is for me may be at a different place and locality than you. What the will of God for another might be in a different place than what God wants you to do. But I'll guarantee you the will of God for you and the will of God for me and the will of God for every church member in this building is the very same thing. It might not be at the same place, but it'll be the same thing. What is the will of God? And now 20 years, I did this. And 20 years, you know, in the first 20 years, one of the preachers said to me, and I was, at that time, you know how preachers are, we talk sometimes. Used to talk more than I talk now. I don't even like to tell preachers anything no more. Amen. Preachers will cut your throat quick. They'll go tell another preacher. Preachers about like women down at the, I start to say barbershop, but that's about what they are now, but down at the beauty shop. Amen. I come in the back door every once in a while. Yes, sir. But guess what? They'll begin to talk and they'll tell another. But anyway, I said to him, I said, I'm trying to find the will of God. I'm in that little, I got in a lull and we was in getting in the battle. And I'm saying, I need to find the will of God. Pray for me for the will of God. And that preacher said to me, the will of God is exactly where you are. This church needs you. This church has got to pray the preacher they need. And I said, no, I'm fixing to give it up. I need to know where the will of God is and what God wants for me in my life. And then he said this, and this is the thing, you've heard me say it before. He said to me, he said, well, I know what the will of God is for you. It's right here. But I do want you to pray that God would show me what the will of God is for me. Well now, if he didn't know what the will of God is for him, how could he tell me what the will of God is for me? Huh? So I got to thinking about that. So one day, I was working on a public job. All that 20 years off and on I had been. I was working on a public job, going to work. And I was reading in the book of Peter. On the swing into my front porch. It's enclosed now, but in the swing. In the morning, I'd read for about an hour. Took my Bible and it said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Now you remember me saying a while ago that God had the same will for you as He does for me. It just might be in a different place. When I read that, it dawned on me that the will of God for my life is being a soul winner. For 20 years of my life, I thought my job was preaching and the localities and places and churches was the will of God for me. I was more concerned about the place God wanted me to be than the work that God wanted me to do. And some of you are sitting in this place tonight and you've come many years in your life and you don't know what the will of God is for you. You don't know, am I supposed to be there? Should I be here? Should I be there? Where should I be? Quit worrying about where you should be and start doing what God wants you to do, and that's winning souls. And when you start that, God will put you where He wants you. It'll always work. Fellas, that goes for y'all. All you got to do is just do what God says. Start winning souls and doing the work. God will open the door. God will put you where He wants you. And that morning, I got up from there. Amen. Next thing you know, I'm filling in here for a while. Then they elect me as a pastor after 6 months or so. I didn't want to come here, but God put me here. And then I started. Guess what? We had a little honeymoon, a short period of time. Had a lull for several years. Battled a time or two, three or four battles. Been an up and down. Well, this church has been like a yo-yo. But in all that time, I never felt like looking over the hill. Because I found out the same devils in every church and every hill and every place in the United States of America, I couldn't even go overseas and not find the devil. He's there. But see, I've never given a thought about trying to find another place to go. Now that may have busted some of y'all's bubbles. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to die out here. Or somebody's going to kill me. Amen. Or I'm going to get feeble enough that I can't. Understand? But as long as there's a strength in me and a sound in my voice, I want to declare the Word of God. Amen. And if you don't want to hear it, amen, I'm going to get on the pew and holler it out anyhow. Praise God. Understand? Because I found out what God wanted me to do. And since that time, I watched God move into the ministry and bring the ministry. Guess what? I didn't know where in the world He wanted us, what He wanted us to do. But listen, when God put us where He wanted us, brother, He started doing the work and He has put the things in our mind. Listen, God will do the same thing for you. Young folks, God will do the same thing for you. He'll put you where He wants you, When you get the first two things, God, and then decide what you want to do for Him. Somebody said, well, I want to be a policeman. Well, I was going to be an electronics technician for IBM. But God changed the plans. Amen. You said, but preacher, I got to make a lot of money because I'm going to marry one of these days. I got to have a place. Amen. I guarantee you get the right woman, she'll live on the side of the road in the shack and be tickled about it. Amen. And if you have to marry somebody that's got to have a mansion on the hilltop, you better run anyhow. Glory to God. She'll be high maintenance on you. Well, that's point three, and I ain't going to get into it. Amen. We need to talk about that next. And I'll just touch the surface of this tonight. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Matter of fact, somebody said, I guess what I need to do is get all the education in the world. Yeah, get all the education you possibly can. Look, just make sure it's what you need from God. As they're graduating out of colleges now, day by day, week by week, of course, they can't find jobs because of our economy. But some of them, you ask them, what are you going to do for life? I don't know. They majored in something in the college and they still don't know what they want to do. I've seen them go get 4 years of college, get a degree, and then go down here and pluck chicken guts. Amen. You hear me? Because they can't find, they don't know what they want to do. Some of them come out of college, they still don't know where they're at. They're still looking for theirself. They're still trying to find theirself. One of these days they come down off the mountain, turn the curve, and they look at themselves in the eye and find out they're there. It'd be good you young folks just learn that tonight. Amen? This may have been a little bit comical, but I'll tell you it's the truth. And I don't apologize for anything you said tonight. Amen. I just scratched the surface. It ought to be a little meaner and tougher and stronger than this. Hey, we're letting our kids filter through our hands and through our churches. And the parents are going to give you this one note on the last of this. And I know I said I was going to preach to young folks, but I can't stand to see all of you go out of here not getting nothing. But all you parents and grandparents tonight, we'll spend billions of dollars on trying to feed our kids. Billions of dollars trying to clothe our kids. We'll spend billions of dollars trying to educate our kids. We'll spend billions of dollars trying to give them everything that they want that one of these days are going to die out and leave behind them. And we won't spend an ounce hardly of time trying to teach them something that's going to be in their soul that's going to last for eternity. Amen. Enough said. Bow your head. I believe what I'm preaching tonight. I believe it's the truth. I appreciate our young folks, and I'm behind you. I'll do anything I can to help you. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. I may say something sometimes you don't like, but it's because I love you. I want you to have the truth. I told my kids some pretty tough things. And I don't think a church ought to be any different. I ought to tell you some tough things. If God's in it, we ought to face the truth. I love you, young folks. Stand, please. Maybe God spoke to you or is speaking to you now about something in your life. I'll give you a chance to lay that before God.